Next case is 952575 Ohio Edison Company versus the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio. Justice Cook has recused herself from this case. We're very pleased to have sitting in place of Justice Cook, Judge Michael Close, who is a judge of the Court of Appeals sitting in the 10th District. Welcome, Judge Close.
Thank you.
This is good advice to watch your time on the clock so you save your time.
Always the best, Your Honor. In this eagerness to lost competition, in the abstract, the Commission lost sight of the statutory duty in this case and decided this complaint case on the evidence and the law in front of it. The Commission's order is fraught with numerous errors, but the first thing that they did wrong was they ignored the law. Ohio Revised Code 4905.34 allows public utilities to grant reduced rates to political subdivisions. There's no restriction in the law. Agreements to do so are valid and enforceable at the law. And 34 is an exception to the other pricing provisions of Chapter 4905 as well as other enumerated chapters.
And we should rule for you on point 34. We never get to the 3.3 issue, comparing materiae and or the other arguments about the evidence on pricing.
That's absolutely correct, Your Honor. The issue on 34 is dispositive of the appeal. If you ruled in our favor on that issue, there'd be no reason to address any of the other issues raised in the appeal.
Do you believe that the Commission considered the point 34 issue independently of whether it's in conflict with point 33?
No, Your Honor.
There's that language about, for first of briefing, we'll talk about it, but the Commission didn't really analyze whether point 34 applies to this case, did it?
No, Your Honor, you're absolutely correct.
Does it need to do that, or can we decide this case? I mean, should it have done that?
Absolutely. I mean, it's a statute that provides, as I say, the right for public utilities to get reduced rates to local subdivisions. The first sentence states that all the other provisions of 4905, as well as other chapters, don't prevent you from granting reduced state rates to local subdivisions, it's dispositive.
Can we decide that issue without sending it back to the Commission?
Oh, absolutely. That's a matter of law as well as the discretion of the court on a de novo basis.
That issue was raised rather late, wasn't it, in the proceeding below? Wasn't it?
The supplemental. 34?
Yes.
No, Your Honor, that was raised 2 days after the Youngstown bill filed their complaint in August of 93.
Raised as comparing it to 33, but not raised as a discrete issue as to whether 34 applies at all in this case. Wasn't that raised later, argued later by you?
It was raised throughout, but the first time that it was raised was in a motion to dismiss that was filed, I think, 3 or 4 days after Youngstown Thermal filed the complaint. And we raised in that motion to dismiss that 34, well, basically what I just presented to you, that 34 is a statute that permits us to grant reduced rates to local subdivisions. That's precisely what we did. No commission approval is necessary. This case should be dismissed on those grounds.
Could the General Assembly possibly have meant that a public utility could do that under point 34? And at the same time have as its intent to eliminate competition?
Well, I don't think 34 eliminates competition. petition. I think 34 says what it says, and it says that we can give reduced rates for a subdivision. It doesn't identify any exceptions to that, like they did in similar statutes. 49.531, for example, has very much the same exception language. It says all the most enumerated chapters of Title 49 don't prohibit a utility from doing the items enumerated in Section 31.
But if we read just if we only had point 34 as a statute,
yes.
Theoretically, a utility could do what is alleged Ohio Edison is doing here, and that is going beyond just giving a public entity so-called charitable rate, but looking beyond that public entity and looking at the territory in which they may have competition and use that lower rate, that so-called the 0.34 rate is a way to defeat a competitor, couldn't it? Isn't that, if we didn't have 0.33, there would be no restriction on OE doing that, I assume. Is that right?
Well, under 34, even with 33 restrictions. But I think what this
is... Well, that's one of the issues, isn't it? Whether 33 and 34 have to be read together, and whether 33 is some limitation on a utility giving this 0.34 low rate to a public entity. Isn't that one of the issues we have before us?
Yeah, that's the position of the commission and U.S.
Council.
But I think 34 is a situation that's not unheard of in Ohio, where the state legislature has decided to carve out a special exception for subdivisions. They provide the benefit for flipping subdivisions. I mean, this court has recently ruled with regard to the powers of municipal utilities, and you say that the law in Ohio is that a municipal utility can exclude competitors. I mean, they basically can destroy competition within the boundaries of a municipal utility. I think, to a much lesser degree, this statute is in the same ballpark, that the legislature has carved out a special exception for public utilities to grant reduced rates to flood subdivisions.
There isn't much question in this case that the commission's decision. Is there much question in this case, or any question at all, that the commission's decision is intended, they feel, to foster competition?
That's their position.
Haven't we said time and again, maybe in the MCI case and the Canton hauling case, the Canton storage case, that it's not the commission's job to regulate competition? To foster competition, that's a legislative matter. They're to regulate, not legislate?
Absolutely, Your Honor. You anticipated one of my next arguments.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I'm going to follow that.
But I mean, we said that so clearly, and their order clearly says we do this because we want to ensure fair competition, forgetting 34 and 33 and all the rest of it.
That's absolutely correct, Your Honor. The commission is using this to do what they say is to foster competition. And you're right, that's absolute. If Section 34, not to follow the plain language, if it truly is irrational and harmful to competition and against the public cause of the state, as the other side argues, then it is up to the state legislature to change the law.
Is this jail open yet?
Yes, it is, Your Honor.
What happened? Because I was concerned, and now we're getting into issues that I'm saying the commission should be in. We shouldn't be in either. But this business of the building commission, I think it was called, then said, no, let's just put the piping in and not put any facilities for Ohio Edison to use. Then the next thing they came back and said, no, we're going to put both in. Did they put both in? Both?
Yes, Your Honor.
So was that an additional cost in the contract?
Yes. As far as I know, it would have been an additional cost to the county to put the piping in.
Okay. And then, so both of those went in. Who's serving what now?
At present, Ohio Edison is providing electric service to the entire jail. I believe Youngstown Thermal is providing steam heat to heat the jail. And I'm not sure about water heating. No, we're not providing electricity for, but I don't know if it's
Ohio Gas. But if we would affirm here what the commission says, that changes what's going on now. It excludes you entirely, doesn't it?
If the candidate were to have adopted the contract that was offered by Youngstown Thermal, yes, that was one of the provisions of the contract that was most vociferously objected to by the county. The sheriff stood up at one of their meetings when it was decided and said, I don't want to jail just one energy source. I don't want a jail where I don't have control of the equipment inside the building.
Okay, then there was a change in the vote. The first vote, I think, was 4-3, and then when they reconsidered it, it was 5-2 the other way. Is that
right?
Right? Okay. So then they went ahead with this. Then the contract was finally entered into by the commissioners, was it not?
Yes, Your Honor.
So the building commission, 5-2, recommended to the commissioners who adopted it unanimously. Am I right about that?
It's kind of a moving target at the local level. I believe the building commission saw their duty as deciding what equipment to put in.
Yeah.
They saw the duty of the county commissioner, the contractor, the energy.
Yeah, well, who's this contract between? Ohio Edison and?
Mahoning County, signed by the county commissioner.
That's so what my question was. And they did that unanimously, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
Okay. So there's no question that this contract is one that is contemplated by 34, and our only issue from the commission is, should we circumscribe 33 onto 34?
That's correct. And 34 stands alone, is entitled to provide benefit to the subdivisions. And there's no dispute that we specifically follow exactly what 34 prevents.
How extensive, now that I think that's the major issue in the case, so now I'd like to go to a couple other things. How extensive was the hearing, and on what basis does the commission say, assuming we get over the 34-33 hurdle, on what basis does the commission say that their cost analysis determines that you're selling it below cost?
Well,
because there was expert testimony on both sides, wasn't there?
Yes, expert testimony was presented by both sides on the cost issue. The commission rejected all of the evidence presented by Youngstown Thermal on the cost issue. And that supports our position that Youngstown Thermal didn't meet their burden of proof.
Okay, and they were the moving party.
Yes, and the commission specifically found they had the burden of proving that we were providing service below actual cost. And then the commission, a couple pages later in their order, rejected very cost analysis.
I can't remember. I read his testimony, but I can't remember your expert's name. It's something like Yancey or something. Came in from out of state someplace and testified that he had reviewed it, did he not, and that you, in fact, were selling the electricity at a rate that would guarantee some profit, that it was not below cost.
Yes, our witness...
What's his name?
On the cost analysis, Mr. Heidel.
Okay.
And that's absolutely what his testimony showed. He relied on the commission's existing standards, precedents, and Ohio Edison's rate order, and in complete compliance with all of those, determined that the service agreement with Mahoning County would indeed be profitable. And it will be profitable.
But they determined that looking at the electrical component as well as the cooling component, didn't they?
Yes, we looked at it on the basis of the whole contract because that's how the commission looked at those contracts. We relied, in looking at this contract, which under 34 isn't subject to their approval, but we still ran it through the commission's existing analysis. And their existing analysis was based on looking at the whole contract, even in competitive response contracts. Competitive contracts were part of the load to submeter, like it is in this case. So we looked at the commission precedent and analyzed this contract just like the commission does in all of the contracts that they approve under Section 31 of the special contract.
But to reach your conclusion that it was profitable required taking what you made and the profits that you made on the electrical and also the contract.
Well, I think that's the proper analysis, and that clearly shows that it was profitable, but I think as we set forth in our brief, that even if you adopt the commission's view and adopt their new standards, they apply to this retroactively, that if you use the proper numbers of the analysis that are in the record, even then the contract is still profitable, even at this much higher standard rate.
There's no way Thermal could ever compete with that because it doesn't have the benefit of laying off the cost of the electrical.
Well, I agree that they they don't provide electricity, they wouldn't be permitted to by law. I'm not sure the costs are being laid off on the electric side. I'm not, I don't understand what you mean. But, well, I see my light is on. I do want to reserve time for rebuttal.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Burke.
Thank you.
Mr. Wright.
Please, the court, I would like to reserve 3 minutes of my time. I would like to end by responding to a question. This is not a case that the public utilities commission might foster its own agenda on competition. This is a case that the commission recognizes the General Assembly's intention to protect markets. That intention is expressed very clearly, very emphatically, in 4905.33. Justice Stratton, I'd like to briefly respond to your question about whether or not the entirety of the contract should be considered versus the cooling clause. 4905.33, clear, unambiguous language says the commission shall focus on the service for which there is competition to determine whether or not that service is being offered below actual cost to start competition. The commission properly considered only the service for which the two parties were competing for. You're absolutely correct, Justice Stratton, means no thermite no ability to provide any other service. And looking at the contract on a whole allows pilots to match what otherwise clearly a legal contract conduct under 4905.33.
Does a rehearing on that issue, since it seems the parties didn't know what tests for cost that Commission was going to use. You both agree, I think, that the Commission developed a new test here to determine actual cost. Is that correct?
No,
you don't
right.
Think
not
so.
Correct.
Okay.
We do not agree that a new test is devised at all. I would first note to the Court that the Commission, as the fact finder and the expert, has to determine the appropriate test to determine actual cost for purposes of 2033. The test the Commission shows this particular instance is not at all unlike the 0.31 analysis that Mr. Burke spoke of. The Commission's analysis considered estimated costs and revenues, numbers all of which are in the record, most of which were provided by Ohio Legislature itself. The Commission's analysis considered the variability of all costs associated with serving this load. Why is this an unusual contract? It was 10 years in length. The only difference between what the Commission did and what Ohio Edison did was twofold. Number one, the Commission considered capacity costs as generation was going to be required by virtue of Ohio Edison's own efforts. Ohio Edison is a summer peaking company. That means they experience their greatest loads during the summer months. Their own testimony indicates that summer peak, as it's called, will increase by approximately 22%. During the term of this contract, the jail is expected to be a significant contributing load to that peak. The second point, Your Honor, is the matter of this $250,000 cash payment. The Commission found that to represent the cost of the transaction. That was an actual cost out of the pilot's pocket to secure this load and to serve this load. That payment relates entirely to providing cooling service to the jail. That money was to be spent for equipment the jail so that it could receive that type of service. When those two factors are considered, not only under the Commission's analysis, but even under evidence submitted by Youngstown Thermal's experts, they find different cost methodologies. The result was the same. The fixed rate. The rate is fixed throughout the entire 10 years of the contract. This is another interesting point. It means Ohio Edison isn't going to need to be able to recover fuel or another type of cost. We can expect no increase over that time period. Under any analysis presented in the record other than Ohio Edison's own, which took an improper entire contract approach, costs exceed revenues throughout the term of the contract.
Let me jump ahead to let's say we were to find that this was an illegal contract. We look at the two statutes and find that they do have to be read together. Ohio Edison is already in there. And Ohio Edison is
noise forming, correct? That is correct, Your Honor.
What is the solution then that does not hurt the county? If there is...
And that's exactly what the commission strove to do in this decision. The conduct is what was the issue in this case. Did Ohio West conduct, did Ohio West engage in conduct prescribed by 1033? The contract itself was not before the commission. In that light, the commission found that it would not at all be warranted to punish the county for the deal that it made, and at the same time, to reward Ohio West with a higher rate, because the fallback rate would have been the tariff rate, which I might add was initially off the served tariff. There was no tariff or civic violence going on there. The Ohio law, specifically 4905.61, Your Honor, provides a mechanism for violation of commission orders. The form in which that remedy lies is common police court action for damages. And in fact, that action, I understand, is pending at this point. The status of your client is maintained.
By your client is pending?
Excuse me? No, that, Your Honor, that action has been brought by Youngstown Borough. The commission made very clear in its order that it made no opinion with respect to that action. That's a separate action that has to be sustained by the complaint in that case. The issue before this court, we believe, is also very simple. By enacting 4905.34, did the General Assembly intend to grant utilities with a blanket immunity to use government customers to destroy competition? The General Assembly, interestingly, did not make the competitive chapters of 4927, those are the telephone all statutes, and 4929, the gas statutes. The General Assembly has not seen fit to make those competitive statutes subject to 4905.34. They're not contained in the list of chapters in the introductory language.
But I thought, starting out your argument, you wanted to specifically answer or refer to what I said with regard to competition, and you're saying, oh, this doesn't have anything to do with competition from the area of the commission. On page one of your brief, you say the court to sanction predatory pricing tactics to destroy competition. On page two of your brief, you say amply established appellant crossed the line, engaged in anti-competitive activity. On page seven of your brief, you say, rather only in accordance with the law, permit utility reduce service, without exception, destroy competition. And I can go on and on and on, but the clear one that I read when, you make me think I'm reading a different brief than what you're talking about, because you specifically say, RC 4905.33 prohibits competitive actions by public utilities, and then you go on and say the commission found that the general authority granted under that prohibits from pricing below cost to destroy competition. Now, there's at least seven references that I have found in here about competition and the commission's order, and you say that has nothing to do with it.
Your Honor, this case is about competition. This case does not represent unilateral action by the commission to foster that aim. 4905.34, we submit, is not a statute that is available as a club to deny entry into a market by another competitor. That statute, we submit, is a public purpose statute. The plain words of the statute itself refer to permitting utility to grant its property for a public purpose, perhaps the donation of land for a park. The second sentence, and that issue in this case, permits a public utility to grant free or reduced rate services. And the statute enumerates the particular public bodies that may receive that service and the types of activities that may constitute public purposes, charitable, fairs, expositions. This case, Your Honor, Justice Douglas, is about competition. It's about improper use of a public purpose statute for Ohio Edison's own.
Well, isn't it? It's about competition because point 33 says in the last sentence, no public utility shall furnish free service or service for less than actual cost for the purpose of destroying competition. The General Assembly has said you can't do this and destroy competition. That's what I think. That's your point. You're not getting to it very, I don't think, sharply. But this isn't someplace where the industrial or where the PUCO has said, well, we think there ought to be more competition in public utilities. This, the General Assembly has said you can't lower rates for the purpose of destroying competition. So there's a public policy statement, and that's what this is about, isn't it?
That's exactly right, Your Honor.
The UCO found that OE was doing that.
We believe that statute is great.
And of course, there's a public policy statement in 34 that says the commission has no jurisdiction over a contract entered into with a public entity. It says that, doesn't it? So let's assume the two are in conflict. Doesn't the specific take precedence over the general?
Well, Your Honor, we would argue that both statutes are specific and they're aimed at entirely different ends. One has to do with competition and conduct that may be destructive to that. The other has to do with public purpose endeavors by intelligence.
But if you take that position, that means the commission has a right to ignore 34 and look at every public contract to see whether or not they're satisfied with the pricing mechanism.
No, Your Honor. First of all, the commission didn't approve the pricing of the contract. The contract was not before the commission. The Ohio's conduct was. I do not agree with that premise, Your Honor. I think anytime we find ourselves in a situation where a utility is using a statute to beat down competition, the government, if it was convenient in this particular instance, the government customer is available. A statement made by Mr. Burr made it very clear that 34 wasn't even invoked. It wasn't even spoken of until after Young's counter-terminal filed a complaint. This has been a defensive posture all along. This is not what we submit is the public purpose type of use to which 34 is intended by the General Assembly.
Well, why would they bring it up before Thermal filed this complaint? The commission would have had no jurisdiction if you read the statute as it is.
Your Honor, we believe that 34, not unlike the U.S. Supreme Court in the Nashville case, that 34 must be read in context. It must be read against other statutes.
But your argument is that they didn't bring it up until the 11th hour. The 11th hour, it didn't come up until the 11th hour until you filed with the commission the complaint. And then, I mean, there'd be no reason to go out and tell the world that 34 exists if there's no pending case or controversy.
Justice Douglas, that's not our problem in the case. Our problem in the case is the way Ohioans have used this statute. They've used it as a club. They've used it as a club to maintain a market monopoly that they enjoy in pooling service. The record reflects that they developed a strategy to, by their own words, defeat the Youngstown thermal threat. Approximately 20 customers were identified as being at risk, existing Ohio Edison customers, at risk if Youngstown thermal was able to establish a competitive foothold in Youngstown. So the associated revenue was almost $2 million. Yes, the stakes were high. Yes, this was about competition. Point 34 we submit is not a tool that's available to destroy competition. It is to promote public and civic types of activities, none of which are presented in this case. With respect to Congress, the decision below.
Thank you, Mr. Wright. Mr. Reed.
This is a fact.
905-60 remedy, we have to go to Mahoning County and prove a damages case. If the commission is reversed, the losers are not just Youngstown Thermal. The losers are the county and the Ohioans and ratepayers whose payments under normal tariff rates, rate 21 or whatever they would be, will cross-subsidize the below-cost contract that Ohioans entered into with the county.
The first bid that the Ohioans submitted, did you do any analysis to see if that was that at above cost?
What, Your Honor, Justice Stratton, the proof at trial dealt with the actual contract. That's what the revenue stream will be. When we filed the lawsuit, yes, ma'am, because the contract hadn't been entered into, the record below reflects that Carl Abrams, our client, who is better in this business, did an analysis, and we filed the action on his behalf. But the target that the commission analyzed was the actual revenue streaming from the contract.
The first bid that Ohio had submitted, was that their normal tariff rate between that and the anymore?
Justice Stratton, before our client emerged on the scene as a competitor, Mr. Burke's client negotiated with the county, assuming the county would pay full freight rate 21. There was no discount, there was no signing bonus, there certainly was no even lastinary purpose.
There was no offering of 134 for a tariff reduction initiative. That only came after
the documentary record. The record in this case, Justice Stratton, shows that 49.534 showed up for the first time in a motion to dismiss before the commission. The county was never approached by Ohio Edison as any different sort of a customer than anybody else in downtown Youngstown was. Your Honor.
You need to sum up, Mr. Reed.
Just to sum up quickly, the decades of precedent from this court suggests that the result here should be that the fact finder's decision-making process should be given deference by this court. There is no real debate on the intent issue. We've got a stack of cumulative evidence on that. The cost issue, the commission erred on the side of Ohio Edison. We think that the 34 and 33 questions, which your honors ask us to address in the supplemental briefing, is well briefed, and the statute should be read in parity materia, they should be harmonized, and we would ask your honors to uphold the decision of the Public Utilities Commission. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Mr. Reed. Mr. Biting, you have about 2 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honor, the Attorney General's got up here today and they defended an order that the Commission did not write. Now, the Commission did state that this was a case of first impression in developing its actual cost standard that it applied in this case. And it stated in page 42 of its order that Ohio Edison could not have known what that actual cost standard was when it entered into this contract. In fact, the uncontroverted evidence the Ohio Edison employees who negotiated this agreement is they believe it to be a profitable service agreement for Ohio Edison. Now,
is there some unfairness in parties being before the commission, a public commission, not knowing what it is, what standard is going to be applied to their conduct?
I think absolutely, Your Honor. I mean, you know, the one point that we do agree with the Attorney General on is this statute is meant to deter anti-competitive predatory pricing. I don't know how it can possibly deter someone who does not know that it is engaging in predatory pricing, and in fact, relying on the commission's 10-year precedent for special contracts, that it is pricing its contract in a way that's going to produce a profit for the company, and is consistent with the commission's standards.
Was this issue, was it briefed or argued in the PUC?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I know there was a lot of evidence offered as to what the actual cost was, and there was briefing and argument as to what the actual cost standard should be. That,
yes, and right. We also argued, Your Honor, that the commission, in focusing now entirely on the last sentence of 33, that the commission has to find that the only conduct that's actually prohibited by the statute is the utility to purposefully engage a low-cost price in order to destroy your debt. The commission found in this order that Ohio Edison had no way of knowing how it would find that cost. The unfairness of that, obviously, is the fact that the utility can be held accountable for conduct which they believe to be perfectly in accordance with the law, in which the commission, only by exercising 2020 hindsight and changing its cost standard, decides places the utility below cost.
Well, that part of it seems to me to be, on the record, seems to me to be fairly, there's quite a bit of evidence here, internal memos and statements made about we've got to get this because we want all these other parts of Youngstown, and that there's, I mean, that seems to be there's quite a bit of evidence upon which the PUC could make that conclusion, but the cost, the actual cost conclusion, that's the one I'm wondering about. Whether
yeah, Your Honor, the point that I'm trying to make is that the commission is properly separating that sentence into two pieces. One is saying, we can determine in hindsight that you're going to cost. And then the other says, now we're going to look and see if you have a purpose to destroy competition. But what it defines as the purpose to destroy competition in this case is the same as competing. And to be perfectly honest, Ohio Edison employees did nothing in this case competing for this contract that they have to apologize. This is a hard-nosed competition. They competed fairly and they won. And what the commission has found to be evidence and what they even characterize as incriminating evidence is responding to the threats of competition. And that is not a violation.
Was the standard that the commission used here to determine the cost issue the standard that was argued by either of the parties, or did it created its own standard, did it not?
That's correct. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.